Well, I thought you'd forgotten about me. I was going to head for the office. It's been all right, too. I don't know how hooked up I want to get into this program. Let's see, some of you are already a little stiff and sore. Let's see, how many of you are here at the collegiate conference? Okay. review. I want to quickly draw a little chart that I drew that I think about two-thirds didn't see. And Leroy's chart that had to do with the central part of the Navigator mission. And I just want to redraw it again as it applies to what we're doing here these days. We said that we go through a certain process called evangelism, if you remember. Hopefully it results in a product or a result called a convert. Then we engage in a process which we call establish or follow up, which results in a product called a disciple. Then we engage in another process which we call equipping, and hopefully results in laborers. Then, for the want of the better term, and since this particular term is used so, as you know, so broadly, but we use it anyway and restrict it to this, we'll call it training. A process called training, which results in equippers. Now, we talked about the fact that the arrow, or the focal point on the Navigator mission, is right here. Laborers. The aim is to multiply laborers in every nation. And that's what we're here for. Anything we do ought to have some relationship to that. That is our calling. That's our job. That's what we've given our lives to. Whether you're doing what you're doing today, or whether I go over and do what I'm going to do today, it ought to have some bearing, some way, on this. Now, in order to get in every nation, however, it's going to take this kind of people. Equippers, or equipping leaders. So the primary aim of the Navigators is to multiply laborers. But to do it in every nation, you've got to have this kind of people. As Leroy may or may not have mentioned sometime in your hearing, Leroy Imes, when he was the Western Divisional Director, he made the mistake of putting DMs in contact points who are not necessarily, obviously, gifted and qualified to be area reps. Now, whatever else a Navigator representative is, he should be a quipper. Right? Because the Navigators multiply laborers. But he ought to be an equipping leader. No leader, no ministry comes through pretty clear to me. And I was in one country, I remember, a year or two ago, and pointed out to them that as far as I was concerned, the leadership we had there was unacceptable, and at the time at least, and no leader, no ministry, no leader, no more resources till we got the right leader. We've got to have leadership. So, as a follow-up on the project of the fundamentals of the ministry, in fact, even more than that, when we began the project originally, that's now completed, called the Fundamentals of the Ministry, we realized that we are going to have something separate in an addition on leadership. So that project that's been sent out to most all the staff talks about this part, does not talk about how to get, select, develop, train these leaders. So we've been working on this part now for about a year. And at this point, and Doug is going through with you some of the biblical roots of leadership have been dug up by various members of the staff, the task force, and so on, that he has told you about. And the idea is that we might be better leaders. And we want to unify our concepts of leadership on a worldwide scale. I'd like to remind you again that from my perspective, I'm thinking in terms of every nation. Here we are, we're Americans. And 73% of the Europe, Middle East, Africa staff, for which Jim Downing is responsible, are non-Americans. 54% of the staff out in the Orient are non-Americans, because we have an increasing number of staff members who are not Americans. There are some basic residual antipathies to anything that has to do with leadership or management that's American or West. Maybe Doug might have mentioned to you that Ed Dayton came through here from World Vision a few weeks ago in conjunction with this project. And they had adopted the Louis Allen Associates approach to management, which incidentally has been very, very helpful to me. He had just come back from Africa where he was seeking to teach this to their staff. They have about 5,000 on their staff scattered around the world. But it didn't work. It was terrific, all except one thing, it didn't work. And one reason is, you have to start with the Bible. And they'd have to make their own statement of how they feel about the principles of leadership and management. Even if Myron Rush or Louis Allen or Peter Drucker or whoever had written down what we perfectly would say, that's it, that we can adopt that for us, we'd still have to redo it in our own words and make it a navigator thing for it to be readily acceptable around the world. And this is what we hope to see in the next 5 to 10 years. So we want to unify our concepts from the Bible. Now, if the laborers are few, the leaders are less. And in accordance with what I had hoped where we would be by 1979, we're behind schedule on the recruitment, development of leaders for this worldwide mission. I'm hoping we can accelerate this significantly. And there are ways in which I hope that can be done. But hence this project. So we need what we're doing. But also I trust that this will be useful to you. You're all leaders. And you're in this business. And that out of this will come some approaches, some helpful things that you can use. So in that sense, an experiment. But on the other hand, to me it's kind of like doing personal evangelism. I just don't think you ever do personal evangelism for practice. You always do that for keeps. You may experiment with one another or role play for practice, but you do PE for keeps. This is not just an experiment or for practice. This is for life. So I wanted to share one thought with you, then I'm going to turn it over to Doug here. I'll get out of your hair here in a minute. And my job now is to absorb what's here. And I'm giving the next 3 to 6 weeks to this. And try to put it together with some things that the way I feel and observed over my experience with the navigators, both here and abroad. But it occurred to me, and it's referred to here, but not stated this way in the material, that there is one thing common to all leaders. It's common to all leaders, anytime, anywhere, everywhere. And I want to mention that one thing. It's common to Joseph, Moses, David, Nehemiah, Paul, Peter, Doss Trotman, you name them. It's common to all leaders. And I don't mean to be funny when I say it, but they all died. They all died. They're gone, as far as this earth is concerned. Now that is a universal. Now, maybe some of you will think that's going to happen before these days are over here. I don't know. But I didn't really have particular reference to what's going to happen. But it reminds me then of Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I was telling my wife this morning, I said, the reason I'm going into this project, number one, is not to help the navigators to be better leaders, but number one, to help me be a better leader. And the actuarial tables being right, I have less time than you. But I'd like to be the most effective I can possibly be for the time I do have. I'm sure you do too. Over in Proverbs 27, 25 and 23 and 24 it says, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation? Look well to your flocks, look well to your herds, because riches are not forever, and you won't be king always. You won't have the opportunity forever. So you better do it the best you can now. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So in this project, you'll be helping us. And I trust also will help you. And there's one other comment I'd like to make. And they say a word to the wise is unnecessary. And I know you are wise men, but an unnecessary word anyway. In order for something like this to really be of help, you've got to be surrendered to this job at this time for these days. Now, whether some of you, I have no idea, but how you feel about it. And I know, and so haven't gotten any feedback that's not positive. But I also know that all of you, you've been busy, you've been in conferences, you have things you have left undone, and there are things that are on your mind. Maybe some of you have some concerns about some things back home, and you wish you could get at them. And that's all proper. But I learned something, which I'm sure you have learned as well, that too much of my life was lived either thinking back to wishing I was there or doing this or thinking ahead to that, but too little of it to living right here, now. My first Billy Graham crusade when I was with Doss, when he took over the counseling and the follow-up for Billy, happened to be in Seattle, Washington. Well, in those days, we didn't know much about how to set those things up, how to handle a follow-up, how to recruit the people, how to manage a follow-up office. So we were working till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and all day. And I remember one evening, I sat out in the car during the evening evangelistic meeting. And I thought, well, things weren't just going well. I mean, I was working, but there was no excitement. There was nothing plus. There was no fizz in the coke. There was no shine to the thing whatsoever, as far as I was concerned. I was kind of heavy and sort of dull, duller than usual, and a little deader than usual. And then it suddenly dawned on me what the problem was. Really, I wish I weren't there. Now, I was there, but I wish it weren't. I wouldn't have said that, after all. Certainly, I wouldn't have told Doss. I realized I wasn't surrendered to the Lord for that time, for that place, for that job, for those days. And so I did that. And then I began to observe. I noticed something about Doss Trotman. In fact, it was irritating. that whatever he did, was doing at that time, was the most important thing in the whole world, and he wanted everybody else around him to think so too. And I knew it wasn't the most important thing in the whole world right then. But he was committed to and concentrated on that particular thing at that time. I noticed with Billy Graham, the same way. I helped set up and train the counselors and handle the follow-up for 25 crusades. And I could tell you, crusade after crusade, that we were coming up to. I remember one, I'd been in Britain for 6 months with the Graham team. I wanted to skip the next crusade, which was Nashville, Tennessee, and stay home for, just drop out for one. After all, I did have a mob of kids and all. I like to stay home. Well, I can hear it yet, how Nashville was probably going to be the most strategic crusade they had ever had. Their denominational headquarters there, et cetera, et cetera. And that was the place where worldwide revival could start. And then I heard it later, too. There was another one where worldwide revival could start. And I learned this also from Billy Graham, that whatever crusade, he lived it and practiced it and did it as though there'd never be another. And I learned something there. To be surrendered to this job at this time in this place, in order that we can get the maximum from it, if we're going to be here anyway. So whether a word to the wise is unnecessary, but in case you need it, I'd like us to all have a word of prayer. And not only for you, but for me. Now I got some things I maybe just soon do is go home with my typewriter. But I want to be surrendered to what God has for me this week. Okay? So let's stop and pray, and I'll lead us. I know you've had a little time of prayer, but let's have a special time for this. Now, Lord, here we are in this place together. In something new we haven't done before. And therefore, parts I'm sure will be helpful and some maybe not so helpful. Some things could have been done better if we'd thought through. But whatever it is, Lord, now here we are. And we would surrender ourselves to you to be all here for these days, for this time. That we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And that we will leave here helped, made more effective as leaders, helped in the job to which we've given ourselves to help others be effective as leaders. Now, Father, we would commit to you the needs back home. Our wives, the children, the financial needs, would you take care of them, Lord, while we're here? We know you're well able to do so. And whatever needs there may be in the ministry or some of the people that we may be concerned about and maybe wish we could be there to handle, Lord, would you straighten those things out for us? Would you work in our behalf back there? And that while we're here, and as long as we're here, we will be all here. So we would right now surrender ourselves to you for this task, for these things, here, these days. And we do pray with Moses, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts into wisdom, that we don't have forever on this earth. And while we are here, that we may be not just efficient, but effective. Not just work hard, but work at the right things. Lord, we are in earnest and in fact nearly desperate to ask you to show us those things that will count the most, that we will not spin our wheels. So here we are, Lord, we're yours. And we believe, too, that you can take over any situation and redeem it. That all things do work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Lord, we thank you for the resources that you've given us and placed at our disposal for Howie, for others that are having a part. Open our hearts and our minds, we pray. We're yours. Speak to us. Teach us. Make us into what you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.